And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. It's still Bob Arthurs. And we are looking forward to having a great, great day here talking about the Word of God. We pray that you are doing well. And, you know, we continue to adjust on a weekly basis as to, you know, what we can do and how we can do it and all of that sort of stuff. We are looking to become everything that God wants us to be. We are still thankful that 2020 is going to be a year of advancement for the kingdom of God, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. So we want to thank you. Pray that you are doing well. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please let us know about those. You can contact us by sending us a Facebook Messenger message through the Merit Assembly of God page. You can also go to meritassembly@hotmail.com. Send us an email. You can phone them in at 321-454-4263. However you choose to get in contact with us, let us know. And we will stand in faith with you. We will celebrate victories with you. We will pray for your prayer request. And we have a number of people that reach out to us through those available media. And we are greatly appreciative to know of everyone who is out there and listening, and are privileged to stand in faith with you to see victories in your life. So we're going to go here today to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. We've talked a little bit about righteousness before. We're going to talk about it more here. We're really getting very, very close to the end of this deliver us from evil aspect that we've been talking about, the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to touch on a few things here today out of Proverbs chapter 11. So let's read. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We will read on down. Well, let's just read the whole chapter. It's about righteousness. So verse number one, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. Now, we talked about that in Proverbs chapter 6. So that word abomination, God considers it idolatry, and it makes him sick. It does not set well. It causes God to have a adverse reaction to what we are doing in life. We don't want that. So we do not want dishonest scales. Are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Another translation says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's one of our theme verses here. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So let's look at this here just a moment to begin. In verse number one, it says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So back in those days, they didn't go around with currency per se. They went around and measured things, and so they would carry weights in their pouch. And so if you were buying a shekel of something, or if you were buying a talent of something, they would measure it out. So a talent was actually approximately 75 pounds, according to the research that I've seen. If that's not accurate, it's not because I didn't, you know, I just made that number up. That was something that I saw. And so whenever you see the word talent, it's the equivalent of 75 pounds of gold or silver or whatever it might be. Well, what business people did who were looking for an edge and to increase their profit, they would buy something, and if they were buying a talent, instead of their weight that they would measure the grain or whatever it was that they were purchasing, instead of using a 75-pound weight, they may use a 76-pound weight. And so they would end up buying more than what they were actually supposed to be getting. Well, they would also flip that around so that when they were selling a talent of material, grain, whatever, they might pull out a 74-pound weight, and thus they have gained, you know, 2 pounds in the process through dishonest trading. And that was one of the ways that they used, and they thought, who is going to know? Who is ever going to find out? Well, God knows. God didn't have to find out. He was an eyewitness to the transaction. And so if you have ever been in the position where you are doing business dishonestly, that's something that needs to be repented of, because it says here it's not just a financial transaction. It is a spiritual manifestation in the financial realm that God considers to be idolatry, and he says that it is abomination to him. So I worked in retail. I worked in a couple of different environments. I worked in, I worked in several. I've worked in grocery. I've worked in a department store. I worked in selling shoes. Worked in an electronics store. I've done several different things. And I worked in another industry as well. And every industry that I functioned in, I generally did okay in that industry, except for one. And that was because they would put a price tag on the items on the floor, and then it was up to the customer to negotiate the price from there. It wasn't a fixed price. They had a bottom line price, and so two different people could come into the store and walk out having paid two different prices, and I did not do well in that environment because I do okay. You know, I can tell you about the features, the benefits. You know, I can match prices with other stores and things like that. But just to, negotiate and then one person walk out thinking they got a great deal and they didn't actually get a great deal, didn't set well with me, and I didn't last long in that industry. It says here that a just weight is God's delight. We don't go around weighing things too much anymore. I mean, maybe in the produce store and things like that, and gas pumps. I know that they go around and they calibrate gas pumps because they don't want those, gas stations selling less gas, claiming that they sold. On every gas pump, there is an inspection sticker that says this pump has been guaranteed to be calibrated correctly. And they come around every so often. I hate my bathroom scale when it gets out of calibration and it tells me that I weigh more than I actually know that I weigh. Actually, that's a joke. But I actually did something here a week or so ago, a little over a week ago. I did something that I don't like. I jogged. I don't enjoy jogging. There's nothing about it. But you know what? Walking wasn't cutting it. And so I needed to get some steps in. And so I ran. I didn't run, enough to where I couldn't walk the next day. But I didn't run enough to get my heart rate up. And then I rested. And then I finished the run on the way home. Because I want my scale to start going down. I want it to tell me, hey, you weigh less, and I want it to be telling me the truth. We don't do a whole lot of weighing in today's day and time. There are some places, some industries that do. But we do have ways that we treat people. We have a justice system, and that justice system should operate the same for the rich and the poor, the black and the white, whatever color your skin tone may be. It should represent genders the same. It should treat Democrats and Republicans and libertarians and independents. It should deal with them the same. It should treat celebrities the same as it treats non-celebrities. It should treat politicians the same as it treats non-politicians. The famous and the powerful, the same as those people who do not have much name recognition. Whenever a society starts meting out justice in an unjust manner, that society will not last very long. God, deliver us from injustice. Deliver us from injustice. It says here in verse number 3, it says, the integrity of the upright, this is Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness delivers from death. Now, the word death there literally means separation. When our physical body dies, it is no longer body, soul, and spirit. It is just body. It is separated from the soul and the spirit. It is separated from the life aspect. You know, dead people don't deal with emotional disorders. They're dead. Their mind, their will, their emotions, none of that is working any longer. The spirit lives on forever. It's either going to live forever in being reconciled to God, or it's going to exist forever in separation from God. So what is it that we have in our life that has the ability to deliver us from death? And here we're not just talking about physical death, we're talking about spiritual death. Much more concerned about the spiritual aspect of it than the physical aspect of it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And you want to know what that verdict is going to be before you go in to that court. Well, we know that it's only through the blood of Jesus that he is our righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And so it is that righteousness that is imparted to us through the Lord God that delivers us from death. And once we have right standing with him, we realize that that right standing with God is far more important than any temptation that the enemy would bring our way. I remember I was very young, worked in a department store. I was in the shoe department, and I remember one day hearing about a person on the department store side, not the shoe side. We leased the shoe department from them, and found out that he had been fired and arrested, and he had done some sort of manipulation transaction. And for the life of me, I still have a difficult time figuring out how he pulled that off. And I think it was something in the neighborhood of a couple of $100s. And he got separated from his job for a very small amount of money, less than what he would have brought home in a week or 2 weeks or however many weeks it was. But for him, his unrighteousness brought about separation from the employment, and it gave him a record. It cost him his reputation. It cost him his job, cost him money to have a lawyer and all of that sort of stuff. And at the end of that, you have to ask yourself, was that worth it? It says riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Was that $200, was it really worth everything that it cost him? And so when you start thinking about, well, you know, my employer really doesn't need this as much as I do, is it really worth it? Because be sure, your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, the sin is going to be found out. It is going to be disclosed. And at that point in time, you don't want to be known for the unrighteousness, the righteousness of God. A lot of people want to put a list of rules and of do's and don'ts and things like that. I want to put it into the perspective of a heart matter, and that is this: is the death of a marriage worth this? Is this what you're thinking about doing? Is it worth the death of your marriage? Is it worth the death of the relationship with your kids? Is it worth the death of your employment? Is it worth, you know, the negative impact it's going to have on your finances? Is any of that really, really worth it? You see, the devil specializes in causing you to think that there's not a price tag on the temptation, that there's not a price that is going to be paid. But even if it is of no economic cost, it does have a relational cost. And so we need to thank God for the righteousness that he has imparted to us, because it becomes the standard. Jesus is our living example. You know, there was the old acronym, what would Jesus do? Well, you use that and evaluate it. What does the Word of God say about this situation? Is this going to enhance my relationship with God, or is it going to destroy it? Is this going to enhance my profitability to the company I work for, or is it going to diminish it? Is it going to make my marriage better, or is it going to cost me my marriage? You begin to evaluate, not because somebody has made you a list of don't do this, don't do this, don't do. See, the rules that we grew up under, there were more don'ts than do's. Righteousness says, I don't do that, not because it's against the rules, but because it's going to devastate an area of my life that I don't want that area to die. Okay. So on a humorous side, and that's all I'm going to say, this is on a humorous side, it is very true, but it is, I'm just sharing this lighthearted. I'm not judging anybody. I've known people who said, you shouldn't be doing that, talking about this very thing. And I'm not there. You know, I know some people enjoy it, and God bless you. So my wife, when we were engaged, she said, look, you can either ride a motorcycle or you can be married to me. And, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate an anniversary here in a few weeks. You know what that means? That in all that time, I haven't been on a motorcycle. And she has her reasons, and none of them are moral reasons. They're health reasons. And I know some friends that do well on motorcycles. I know some friends that have, you know, are lucky to be alive because of motorcycle accidents. So I just want to tell you, not you know, let me put it this way. I'm not saying don't ride motorcycles. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we go through life and we say, this relationship is very, very important. I think that that's a one-way street. My wife knows that there are some things that I do not care for. And so because I do not care for them, she doesn't do them. It's not just a one-way. When you're in a relationship, you are looking to enhance the other person, to build up their faith, and you realize that it is not just about pleasing yourself, it is about pleasing them. And with righteousness, we're talking about pleasing God. What is going to make us a better Christian? And so that's the righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. And in those three verses there, we basically see the same thing that I was telling you, that it's the righteousness of those who have been forgiven, who are in a blameless condition before God, and we make decisions based upon how it's going to impact our relationships. But it says the unfaithful or the unrighteous, they're not going to be led by what is going to enhance their relationship with God or their job or their spouse or their kids or anybody else. They're going to be led by their lust, led by their cravings. Whatever feels good, do it. You know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right, the old country song says. And what happens is those cravings, those desires, those lusts end up leading them into a place where they are taken captive and they're destroyed. Verse number 7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Now, I will tell you this. Everybody has got an appointment to meet Jesus. And at that point in time, he knows everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought, everything that we've ever said. And you know, every stumble that you've ever made, every prayer that you've ever prayed, he is aware of all of that. You see, Jesus loves us so much, even when we were at enmity with him, when we did not even realize that we were separated from God by our sin, he loved us so much that he made the way of reconciliation possible for us to get back to him so that we could be delivered from trouble. The thing is, God is not looking to limit the joy and power of your life. He wants you to have an abundant life, a powerful life, a fruitful life, a jubilant life. But all of that comes because we have a right relationship with him. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. I pray that you will understand that saying no to temptation is a great way for God to deliver you from misery and heartache and ruin, like God does not want you to exist or to experience. He wants you to live a trouble-free life. But if you reject God, if you reject the relationship, you reject his commandments, trouble will find you. I don't want to make trouble's job easier. I want to make it extremely difficult for me and for you. So I want to live the life that God wants me to, because I hate trouble. I hated getting in trouble as a child. I hate getting in trouble as an adult. And I hate experiencing trouble. I love adventure, but I hate trouble. And so I want you to live a trouble-free life as well. So let me close out today's broadcast with this. Last week, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and in my spirit, I heard a trumpet sound. I heard a trumpet sound. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, trumpets sounded for two reasons. One, whenever there was a battle to engage, and two, whenever it was time for the saints to assemble. I believe that God is sounding the trumpet, that there is a spiritual warfare that is raging, and we, the people of God, we need to gather together, we need to worship the King, and we need to prepare ourselves for a spiritual conflict. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Let's come out victorious. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Wouldn't spot an empty canvas, wouldn't share in an empty room. No place for a revolution, and no hope if the signs are true. We stand at the edge of something, will we ever know what it is? Hold on, cause the wind is rising, and we can't get away from it. We're in shock from the failed emotion, no cause in a shadowed land. And we sing while the city's burning, with no room, no escape, no plan. We are never